So I jumped off the motorbike mid-air and I came down, landed on both my feet. I broke both feet, broke my back, and I broke a few ribs. Yeah, I feel like, you know, I could have lain on my back and felt sorry for myself, but yeah, I don't really like to be like that. You know, there's always a light at the end of the tunnel. It is difficult at times, but if you can push through, it will get better.
I'm Carol Ofori, and this is The Comeback, a podcast about resilience, healing, and the strength it takes to keep moving forward.
Some people are born with grit in their bones. They push the limits, they chase adventure, and they find joy in every challenge. Travis Warwick Oliver, better known as Turbo Trav, was one of those people. A trail runner, a motocross rider, and an adrenaline junkie through and through. Then, in March 2020, something happened that brought everything to a halt. He lost his leg below the knee and was told his racing days were over. But that wasn't the end of the story. Not even close. Today, Travis is an ultra endurance athlete, a Comrades Marathon finisher, and the founder of a nonprofit that helps others regain mobility. This is The Comeback with me, Carol Ofori, and this is Travis's story. Travis, thank you so much for joining me on The Comeback.
Yeah, wow, what an introduction. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, well, your life is beautiful. I want to start really, not necessarily at the beginning, but let's go back to pre-2020. You are an adrenaline junkie, you're doing all these things. What was the Travis of then like?
Yeah, so I'm a twin. And my twin brother and myself have been competitive our whole lives. So swimming, rugby, then got into motorbike racing. And yeah, that consumed us for a good 15 years of our life. 2012, I had quite a bad accident, blew my left knee out. And that kind of ended my semi-professional career. So I ended up traveling a bit, going over to Northern Ireland to my uncle. That's where I found my passion for endurance, actually. My friends were all racing in Romania and decided that I was going to cycle a bicycle from Northern Ireland through Europe to Romania.
Wow.
It took me 2 months and that was my passion for endurance. Moved back to South Africa because I just missed the sunshine. And I started racing motorbikes again, but not as seriously. And then, yeah, just had the accident in March 2020 and that kind of put a stop to my riding career.
So you were very much active and doing adrenaline stuff. You even hurt your knee. And at that point, you just became this Turbo Trav. How did Turbo Trav come around?
Yeah, so Turbo Trav didn't happen straight away.
Yeah.
So actually, I had my foot for 11 months before the amputation. Went through a couple of surgeries. And then before I had the amputation, because it was elective, a friend of mine sent me this cool logo and it says Turbo Trav. And it was like this person running in the mountains with a prosthetic leg. I'm like, oh, okay, let's make this stick. Right. So that's where Turbo Trav came into the picture.
Oh, wow. Okay. So let's go then to that day in March 2020 when you had the accident and the recovery process.
Yeah. I mean, it was just a normal day at the track with a bunch of friends and my brother. I was actually with a really good friend of mine who was racing professionally. Mm-hmm. And my brother had to leave to go to a few friends. And I said, no, I'll go home with my other friend. And, you know, they always say, don't say this is the last lap. And I said, this is the last lap. And I ended up just hitting the jump completely wrong, too fast. And it just skyrocketed me into the air. Mm-hmm. So I overjumped the jump by about 20 meters. Mm. So I jumped off the motorbike mid-air and I came down, landed on both my feet. I broke both feet, broke my back, and I broke a few ribs. Because I'd been in a few accidents in my life before, I just thought, oh, I'm sore. Like, it's not too serious. Be a couple of weeks and we're back at it.
Yeah.
But then got to the hospital and, yeah, we kind of realized that this was something a bit more serious than that.
Mm. So when did you know, the moment you knew that this is a lot more serious than any other injury?
So it wasn't too sore at the time because I think the adrenaline was there. But when I got close to the Life Hospital up in Hilton, I started feeling a bit weird and started getting a bit shaky and all of that. And I was like, okay, this is a bit more dramatic than normal. Mm-hmm. And then when we tried to get the motocross boot off my foot, I knew that's a little serious because I couldn't even touch it. So yeah, I went straight into surgery, woke up the next morning and it was excruciating pain because I did so much nerve damage. Without the motocross boot, my foot would have come off. So that's how hard the impact was.
Oh my goodness.
But that boot kept me in contact. So that meant that there was just a whole lot of damage, nerve, tissue, bone, everything was destroyed. So yeah, I woke up the next morning and it was excruciating pain, more nerve pain than anything else, but yeah. I knew something wasn't right then. And this was a week before the national lockdown. So I went into national lockdown in hospital.
In hospital?
Yeah.
And so you mentioned that it was elective to have the leg amputated from the knee down. Mm. When they told you the news that, you know, you said you lived with it for 11 months. Yeah. Was this 11 months of pain? Was it, what was it that got you to a point of saying, I'd rather just you remove the leg?
Yeah. So, you know, like there were times when I thought I was going to get better because, you know, I still managed to do a 100-kilometer cycle.
With the injury?
With the foot.
100-kilometer.
Yeah,
okay,
but then
we see now turbo track.
Yeah, but then I couldn't walk for 4 days.
Oh, no.
So it was like a reward with major, you know.
Pain.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, and it just got to a point where, you know, the painkillers, I got too used to the painkillers. You know, I started using alcohol just to, like, you know, numb the pain. And I was getting bored. I was lying in bed most of the time. Couldn't work too well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then just started looking at the different options. And, you know, the doctors weren't really excited about how I wanted to go forward because I had a foot. It wasn't functioning the way I wanted it to. And also, they do their best to save your limb.
Yeah.
So I just contacted a few people and got to chat to a girl in America. Her name's Jackie. And she just spoke me through, like, you know, what, you know,
the options will be.
Yeah, and the realistic bits about being an amputee. You know, it's not as easy as we make it look on the socials.
Yeah.
But for me, my lifestyle was active. I wanted to get moving. I wanted to be in the mountains. I wanted to just live a different lifestyle. Mm. And that's when I just made the decision that, you know, I was going to have the amputation.
Okay. So let me understand this. The doctors were saying probably stop all the hectic exercise, the endurance stuff. Do more simple things and have more of a simple life. And you decided, I would rather lose my leg and be able to do everything I've ever wanted to do.
Yeah.
That's quite powerful. Because I think a lot of us would have chosen to just say, no, we can't do it anymore because we're injured. So we're just not going to do it anymore.
Yeah. And also my lifestyle doesn't consist of me sitting at a desk all day. Like my job is very busy and my brain is busy. So like I like being busy all the time.
Yeah.
And also just, you know, all my teachers at school know that if they told me no, it means I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, just
that is something.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is something. Because a lot of, I mean, I suffered an Achilles injury. And ever since, I refuse to get back onto the netball court because I'm scared that the other one will go. And I know how much stress it was having this leg recover for 6 to 8 weeks in a boot. You know, you could have just sat back and said, okay, I'll pick up gardening. And plant a couple of spinach leaves in my backyard.
I do like gardening still.
I want to go out there and do adventure. I mean, you clearly love adventure. And what does movement and endurance mean to you that you made it a life decision because of movement and endurance?
Well, it's crazy. You only appreciate basic movement when you can't do it. So when I was sitting there at night and I wanted to go to the bathroom and I couldn't because it was just excruciating pain. Then you realize how fortunate we really are, you know, to get up and walk to the fridge without even thinking about it, to walk up a flight of stairs, to, you know, to go and visit your parents, your sister, your mother, or whatever the case. Movement is a key to life, and it's quite debilitating when you don't have that.
Yeah, 100%. Now, you say you're a twin.
Yeah.
What did your twin say when you made the decision to no longer look exactly alike?
No, he said, yeah, I thought this was going to happen. So my brother and I were very honest with each other. You know, he didn't say quite like that. He was stoked that I made the decision. You know, my close family knew what I was going through because I didn't show too many people, you know, the suffering I was going through.
Yeah.
My now wife saw everything. And when I told her, she was like, yes, thank you.
Right. Sure. Okay. Yes. Now, thank you. Okay. Coming from your wife. So now you've made the decision. You've had the talks. You have somewhat an understanding of what to expect when you wake up from the operation. And now from the knee down, you don't have a leg. Do you remember that moment you woke up and seeing that the decision you've made is now there? And how did you feel in that moment?
Yeah, so I mean, it wasn't also like I just woke up and decided I'm doing this. Mm-hmm. Like it was a long process. I saw a psychologist for 3 months just to mentally prepare myself for what's to come next.
Right.
Because like you say, I woke up from the surgery, and I whipped the blanket off, and I looked down, and there was no turning back. The leg was gone, and you can't put that thing back on.
Right.
But I was prepared for it mentally, and physically I was prepared. So I actually said to the one nurse, I was like, my toes are itchy. So she came and scratched my left foot toes. I'm like, no, not those ones. It's like the other ones. So I just made a joke of it straight away. And I accepted it before it even happened.
Yeah. And then you get up and it's the rehab.
Yeah.
How was that?
Rehab was good. I mean, I started my rehab a few months before the amputation, cleaned my diet up, and then just carried on with it. And I haven't ever stopped, actually.
You are just so disciplined. Now let's talk about rebuilding your life now. It's a new life.
Yeah.
It's a new Turbo Trav. And here you are. What was the hardest part of those early months of recovery?
So I was just knowing the limits, because I like to push the limits, and you know, I had to kind of slow myself down.
How did you learn that this is the limit for you? Did something happen?
Yeah, I hurt myself. So
again.
No, I mean, I didn't hurt myself. I just put myself in like positions where I couldn't wear my leg for a couple of days, and then that annoyed me.
Mm-hmm.
So I just learned that I need to slow down a bit, so I could actually go forward. It's like two steps forward, three steps back.
Yeah,
is how I was working it. Where I just take one step forward, two steps forward, and just carry on like that.
Right.
Yeah.
Is there a darkest moment during this recovery process that you can share with us, where you were thinking, maybe regretting your decision, maybe feeling like, will you be able to cope with this new lifestyle? Was there a dark moment for you?
Yeah, and I mean, it still happens. You know, I still, you know, wish I wasn't in this position, but I can't recall like an exact dark moment.
Mm.
I do remember at one stage where I was feeling a bit sorry for myself, and I went to my mom and I was chatting to her, and I got the tough love, the mommy tough love, and she ended up turning to me and saying, well, you chose to have the amputation, so you need to now face it and deal with it. And yeah, I feel like, you know, I could have lain on my back and felt sorry for myself, but yeah, I don't really like to be like that. I do still feel some days that, you know, life can be unfair and why did this happen to me, but I've made it into something a little bit better. And I think it's like just putting yourself in that positive mindset creates more positive energy around you, which attracts more positive energy.
Yeah, absolutely. Do you ever feel like since this new transition, you've lost your sense of being an athlete, or has it literally put fire into you to say, I'm going to do it even better than I did before my accident?
Listen, I won't be like as good of an athlete result-wise or time-wise.
Mm-hmm.
I've definitely done a lot more now being an amputee than I had done before. But yeah, it is frustrating sometimes. Like for instance, Comrades Marathon last year, I would pass the 11-hour bus, and then I'd sweat and I'd have to take my leg off, or it'd be uncomfortable, and the 11-hour bus would pass me, and then I'd have to catch up and make time up and pass them. So like my whole Comrades last year was literally just
catching up.
Yeah, it was just like racing the 11-hour bus, and my goal was to beat that 11-hour bus.
Right.
So, like, yeah, those are the times where it does get very frustrating, where I have to stop and notice that I'm disabled. But when my leg is on, I don't feel like I have a disability at all.
Wow, wow. Just over a year ago, I think it was, you ran the UTD 160. Is that a year ago you did that? Which is the 160-kilometer trail run.
Yeah.
Why would you run 160 kilometers? It's crazy. And that's huge. Why did you take on something that crazy?
Yeah, so that was a year and 2 months after my amputation. I entered that race. I didn't finish. I've attempted it twice now, and I haven't finished twice.
How far do you get from trail-wise?
Well, year one, I got to 138 kilometers.
My goodness.
Yeah, so I was like right there.
That's still a feat.
Yeah, it was amazing, but I really need to go finish that race. And then year two, I was actually visiting a patient in hospital, and I picked up some super bug, and it only kicked in at like 100 kilometers of the race, the UTD. So I was just extremely sick, ended up crutching for like 20 kilometers trying to get to the finish line.
Oh, no.
But yeah, I don't know. You know, these things, I like pushing the boundaries, and I feel like that UTD race is very special to me. There's just something about it. You get this like really spiritual feeling. You know, you're by yourself. You're in the middle of Lesotho. There's absolutely no lights, no people.
It's at night.
Well, you go
run through the day and night. Of course, 160. I mean, a car even takes a long time.
Well, you got 46 hours to do it.
That's crazy. Then you touched on the comrades chasing the bus, but then you crossed the finish line, you got a bronze medal. Yeah. What was that like for you when you finished that? I mean, I watched the comrades on the TV and I'm like, these people are just unbelievable.
So I only did comrades because I'm a trail runner and I love being out on the trail. And I did comrades because in South Africa, you only a runner if you have done comrades.
It's true. Okay? I work with a big time comrades runner. We don't talk about anything else but the comrades.
Exactly. Yeah. So like you're not officially a runner if you haven't done the comrades.
Yeah.
So yeah, I entered that and that was amazing. I mean, you get to the start line and it's just completely different. There's 20,000 people, you know, everyone singing the national anthem and it's amazing. You get going. The beginning is a bit slow because I'm not the fastest marathon runner. So it takes quite a while to get through the start. And yeah, it's like, what a better way to experience something you love than having everyone screaming and shouting for you from Durban to Pietermaritzburg.
Right, yeah. And let's talk about Rejuvenate South Africa, right? For those who've never heard of Rejuvenate South Africa, what is it and what does it mean to you?
So Rejuvenate stands for to start afresh or start anew. Mm-hmm. So long story short, when I had my amputation, I didn't really look into the costs involved in getting mobile again, and my medical aid didn't cover a lot of money. So I did a little fundraiser and I managed to raise 250,000 rand. And that money, which was donated from people across the world, helped me get up and mobile, bought my first two legs because prosthetics are expensive. And I went and I chatted to my prosthetist and I just said, like, listen, like, I'm fortunate, I'm blessed. How do people afford these things? How do people get up and get moving? And he says, Trav, you know, the long and short of it is that they don't. So that's where I decided to open up a nonprofit called Rejuvenate South Africa. We provide mobility aids, whether crutches, wheelchairs, walkers, prosthetics. Even now it's getting into a bit of education. Yeah, just trying to get people with disabilities a better chance at life and letting them start afresh.
Where can people find Rejuvenate SA? And maybe somebody's listening or watching and they want to help. How do we do that?
So the best channel is obviously our website. So it's just www.rejuvenatesa.com. Or you can follow us on our socials. It's rejuvenate.sa. Facebook is also just rejuvenatesa. Yeah, that's pretty much all we have at the moment.
Okay. And if someone needs help from you, they can follow the same channels.
Yeah. So we do have an inquiry list that you can go onto our website. I do get a lot of inquiries on social media as well. Just feel free to pop me a message. I won't reply straight away, but I will get back to you at some point.
Yeah. Your story is a very dynamic story in so many ways, from being an endurance and mega athlete to having the injury to making that life-changing decision to opening Rejuvenate and doing for others. It's a really beautiful story. And I wonder, what would your message that you hope for people to take away from hearing your story? What would you want them to take away from it?
Just appreciate movement, you know, appreciate what you're able to do with your own body. Because there are a lot of people out there that don't have what we have. And I see it all the time and it's very sad. And, you know, when you give someone a bit of mobility, you change your life. So, you know, don't take it for granted that you can get up and walk to the fridge and grab a cool drink.
Yeah. What do you think is the biggest stereotype people have about amputees or a person living with a disability that you wish you would be like, I wish you just understood this one thing, you know?
The scary thing is people never understand because they're not in the position. Yeah. I mean, there are such basic things like just, you know, I wouldn't consider myself disabled when I have my leg on. But if I go in a park in a very tight parking, I can't open my door because my ankle doesn't move. So I can't even get my leg out. So like it's just the craziest, smallest things that make the biggest impacts. And yeah, we are trying our best to, you know, just educate people a little bit more on, you know, the difficulties that we have. And it can be very simple fixes. But yeah, people don't understand until, you know, you don't know what it's like walking on crutches until you break your foot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's so, so true. And for someone who is maybe new to being in a position where they've either lost a leg or hurt themselves in the position where they can't walk, what do you say to them?
Don't give up. You know, there's always a light at the end of the tunnel. It is difficult at times, but if you can push through, it will get better. I always say to people, if we didn't have those bad days, you would never appreciate the good ones. So on a bad day, just know that a good one's coming.
On a bad day, just know that a good one is coming. Apparently, you love to say go slow and don't stop, similar to what you said. It's your motto.
Yeah.
And what does that phrase mean to you today?
So that phrase was actually, I was at Golden Gates Challenge and I was sweeping. So that means we were at the back of the pack and just making sure that everyone got through. Mm. There was this lady, she was so motivated and driven to get to the end. And we were going up this massive steep climb, like we're all battling. And she just started saying all of a sudden, go slow, don't stop. Mm. And, you know, it stuck with me because we got to the finish line eventually, but she didn't stop and she went slow and she got there eventually.
She got there eventually.
Yeah.
Did you ever struggle with having to lose friends or people treating you differently now? Or did you ever struggle with something like that?
So I personally didn't. I mean, the first day I put my leg on, I went to our local spa and I was grabbing some milk off the top shelf and I felt my prosthetic leg shaking and I looked back and there was this little kid who'd grabbed it and he was shaking it around. I'm like, okay, this is what it is. You know, like with the work I do with Rejuvenate, I see in, you know, the communities that I work in that disability, and I feel like maybe in the African culture is, you know, people kind of push them aside a lot. Mm. And I feel like, you know, we're trying to change that perception, because when we go into these communities and we help these people, all of a sudden the other neighbor say, hey, we also have someone with a disability and we also need your help. Mm. So for me personally, it doesn't bother me at all, but I do see it a hell of a lot and we're trying to change that.
What would you say the comeback means to you?
Sheesh, man, you know, I don't often get time to actually think about this stuff because I've always got something on the go. For me, it's just about being who I am and doing what I love, and that's being outdoors and pushing the limits. Yeah, I can't even actually comment on that because I've never really thought about it.
Okay, and if you could leave us with a message of encouragement, of keep going, go slow, don't give up, don't stop, what would you say as your final words?
Yeah, I mean, again, go slow and don't stop. And just remember, those good days always are going to come again. And on the bad days, just know the good one's coming.
Yeah, the good one's coming. Well, thank you so much, Trav. I mean, your story is very, very interesting. It's very dynamic, as I mentioned earlier. And I think a lot of people are going to take the motivation of, I think the biggest thing I'm taking away from you is how much you wanted to live the life you wanted to live. And no matter whether your body was agreeing with you or not, you were going to live the life that you wanted to live, and you decided to make those decisions to make that happen, which is quite something, you know, it's something to look up to. So thank you so much for your time. Thank you for sharing your story.
Yeah, so thank you so much.
Thank you. Well, as I mentioned, Trav's story is incredible. It's amazing. It's inspiring and it's filled with resilience. And that wraps up another episode of The Comeback. And remember, if there's someone you think would benefit from this, please share, please review. We'd love to hear you. I cannot believe this is the final episode of this season. And what a beautiful season it's been. Season one of The Comeback with me, Carol Lafori. Remember, we're available ecr.co.za, on ecr. Our YouTube channel, or wherever you get your podcasts. Until next time, bye-bye.
The Comeback with Carol Lafori is an East Coast Radio podcast.